Welcome to this edition of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network. I'm your host, Bob Ross. Today we return to our series dealing with the Bainbridge Island Metro Park and Recreation District, what it is, its history, and some of the exciting new things happening right now and over the next several months. We'll focus on special events and programs that exist and will be coming available. We'll discuss the wide array and unique recreational opportunities that exist on over 1,500 acres of parks, trails, and open space that are on the island. I'm happy to welcome back Don Jano, one of the park commissioners. Don, always good to have you. And who did you bring today?
Hi, Bob. Nice to see you. Today, I have Morgan Houck, and she is our volunteer coordinator.
Welcome, Morgan.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's good to have you. Okay, volunteer coordinator. That's a very interesting title. What exactly do you do?
Yeah, it encompasses all sorts of things. So I work with our park services team that deals with everything horticultural and maintenance on all of our park district properties. So I get to manage our volunteers in planting projects, invasive weed management. Our trails coordinator, Sean, does all of our trails coordinating and management of our volunteers, but he tends to not like to be in the office. So I help him with all of his administrative things and emailing and that sort of thing, getting volunteers coordinated out on our trails as well.
I suppose on an island like Bainbridge, there's not a problem getting volunteers.
No, we have a really wonderful pool of volunteers, a lot of whom have been around a lot longer than I have in the park district. So I'm constantly learning little stories from them about a specific fruit tree in a park or where this project came from or the last time they had to pull ivy off this darn tree. So I have a lot of fun learning from all of them and picking up on new and old projects.
So in terms of taking plants out that you don't want to have in the park system, is that a seasonal kind of a project or set of projects?
It runs throughout the year, but we focus on different species of invasive plants throughout different months. So Scotch broom is great to get in the spring when it's flowering and bright yellow but hasn't gone to seed yet. But we like to tromps in the depths of the woods in the late fall and winter and early spring because the ground wasps are not quite as active then. So we have fewer run-ins.
So that's a big challenge.
It is, yeah. I have a safety little overview that I do at the start of every work party, depending on what we're doing and who I'm working with. And it often centers around, do you carry an EpiPen and what do I need to know about a bee allergy? Have never had any problems, but just like to know what's going on. So show people how to use tools, do all those things.
So how does it work organizationally for you? I mean, you're the head of this program. Now, do you have a staff that you work with?
I get to work with our awesome park services staff. So we have folks that are in our parks every single day, and they really are kind of the eyes and ears of what needs to be done and what's going on in parks. So if I am looking, we have monthly work parties that we schedule. We have a trails work party, and we have a conservation work party, and I'll often go to them and say, hey, Eric, like, how is Fort Ward looking? Like, how is the tree ivy? Could we get over there with a group of 10 people and be helpful pulling it off? And he'd be like, yeah, like, this is the spot that we need to do it. So I'm really communicating with them and working with them on all of that planning side of things. But then it's when it comes to just managing volunteers, it's just me in the wintertime, and I sometimes get some seasonal help as well. So.
I know when we first moved here on our property, it's about 2 acres, we had a lot of a broom. And so I think, borrowed this piece of equipment. I can't remember who we got it from, but, you know, you put it on the ground, you put a piece around the branch of the plant, and you pull down on it and it pops it on the ground. And I think we've got the broom under control now. I mean, it really feels good to have done that. Do you get to a point where you feel like you've conquered something?
Sometimes. Whenever I'm talking to volunteers, I remind them that we're working in decades here, not months.
Oh, okay.
But it's really nice to walk back into an area that maybe we tackled in the spring. Sakai Park has some Scotch broom, and I was able to work out there with some younger kids at the very kind of start of bringing back our volunteer programs after the heart of COVID. And we had a really wonderful socially distanced work party out there. And it was great to be able to see all of the Scotch broom, the yards and yards of Scotch broom that these kids were able to pull out with weed wrenches, which is what I think you're talking about. And they're out there all the time doing outdoor school programs and stuff. They'll go over there on recess or do different things. And it's really cool, I think, for them and for me now to drive by and just see baby Scotch broom everywhere, not these Scotch brooms that are bigger than them. But it's those weed wrenches are amazing. And we have them available to borrow if anyone needs to come get them. The Land Trust has several as well, but we have a stash that you're welcome to reach out to.
If I want to borrow it, how do I do that?
You can email me, and my email address is on our website, either at the volunteer page of the website or the staff page of the website. And you are more than welcome to do that.
Wow, what a great resource.
Good to know. Yeah.
And it's very satisfying.
It's really fun to see the little ones do it because they see this big, heavy piece of equipment and, you know, like I have to really like heft it up. They're pretty heavy. They're all metal. They're, you know, 4 or 5 feet tall. But once you kind of get them in place, so like a 5-year-old can sit there and they like learn this little physics lesson of leverage and all these cool things. And just to watch their eyes just get huge when they're like, I can pull this thing out. Like it's 4 inches across and it's taller than I am.
Now, are these can they be used on blackberry as well?
They can. I found they work best on Scotch broom and things with tap roots. So a tap root, anything that goes straight down into the ground. So hawthorn is another one that they work well on when they're smaller, as well as holly. They work really well with holly as well. And blackberry, if you can get them down around the root ball, they work great. It's harder because they'll break off the weaker stems of blackberry. Oh. They can rip those out, but They work well on just about anything. They use them all over the country on plants I can't even imagine that are invasive, and I know my few here that I can use them on.
What happens to all the invasives that you guys pull out? Where do they go?
They go to tills. They might make a stop off in our compost pile at Battle Point Park, but they all go to tills. And the reason it's important to take them to a facility like tills is because they're able to get their compost piles up to a certain temperature, which kills any roots and seeds that are living in invasive plants. Mm. And so they are able to compost them to a point where when we go and respread the mulch or the dirt or whatever it is that we're picking up from tills, it's not going to be a problem. They're not going to reroute and take hold in a fresh area, which defeats the purpose of us ripping them out.
Well, I think that's good information to share with people that are listening to this because, I mean, that does cross one's mind. You know, what happens to all this stuff if we go to all the effort to control it, get it put out or pulled out?
Absolutely. Yeah, most of it gets turned back into healthy soil. Some of the invasive weeds that we work with are so toxic or so invasive that we're going to put them in trash bags and throw them away. Mm. Or we're going to work directly with Dana Coggin at the Kitsap County Noxious Weed Control Board to manage them. But the weeds that we're pulling with volunteers are all what we call Class C invasive weeds, how the state classifies them all. Mm. So they're B or C, and so they're more manageable by hand with a group of people, and they're less toxic, and their spreading ability is a bit less most of the time. So we can compost ivy to a point where it's not going to be an issue, or compost Scotch broom seeds to a point where they're not going to be an issue anymore.
So that part of that process you described at tills, I know when I go by there sometimes and I'll see a big pile kind of steaming.
Exactly.
That's what's going on.
I wish I could tell you the temperature that it gets to, but it's hundreds of degrees inside those piles.
Wow.
And that's what breaks down the coating on the seeds and its ability to regenerate.
Oh, wow. That's great
to know. Pretty fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you go to school for? I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you.
It's okay.
Shockingly, I have a business degree. So
really?
Yeah, I wanted to be an investment banker when I graduated from Bainbridge High School.
We saved you.
Yeah, exactly. I realized about my sophomore year that finance was not what I wanted to do with the rest of my life and headed down a social entrepreneurship, like nonprofit management route. And ended up working on an organic farm out of college and spent a couple years in Massachusetts doing that and then a few years here on Bainbridge Island working in that realm. And I just always seemed to get, like, sent back into an office-type job. And all I really wanted to do was be outside using my hands. And I met Dan out at what is about to be one of our new trails. I was working for another organization here on the island, and I sheepishly sent him an email and asked if he was hiring, and he was. So after a few phone calls and a Zoom interview, it all worked out, and I just joined the team as like a park service maintenance person. So I could I could weed and clean bathrooms and do all the things. So I just spent all my time outside in rain gear, getting muddy, having just like the greatest time ever. And the volunteer coordinator position opened back up and I jumped on it. So yeah, here we are.
Well, we talked about the plant destroying part of your job. Is there another horticultural dimension?
There is. We get to plant native plants, which is just so wonderful. So we were actually just yesterday, I was out working with the Parks Foundation, Barb Trafton, and the Bainbridge Island Rowing Club. The second half of the team took a day off from their training and spent 2 hours with me at Blakely Harbor Park, where we had done a ton of weeding this summer with our modified and smaller student conservation corps. And after some mulching that happened, that put about 4 inches of fresh mulch down over some of the weeds that were out there, we were able to plant almost 300 and native plants just in the meadow area at Blakely Harbor. And next week on Saturday, we'll be out closer down towards the 3T parking lot planting another 300 native plants over there with the water polo team. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And we're just trying to create more habitat for native species, including bees and butterflies and birds. And spending the summer out at Blakely Harbor, I saw deer of all kinds, fawns, bucks, does, the whole schmeal deal, and got to see some coyotes out, like, playing in the harbor over there and rolling around in the grass. And so you really just get to see the full spectrum and really know kind of, like, why we're doing what we're doing, restoring the plants over there. I remember from when I was in high school, and it was just this pile of weeds and thistle and blackberry, and it is just incredible to see the work that's happened long before me and what I get to then jump in on and have a lot of fun doing with 45 teenagers. It was an afternoon.
So cool.
So you plant these native species. So how do you access them? I mean, do you have somebody grow them for you, or what's that story?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a really wonderful planting plan that was put together before I came into the volunteer coordinator position. Blakely Harbor has a lovely list of native plants that work in different sort of environments. So you have like dry and sunny, you have dry and shady, you have wet and shady, wet and sunny. So there's all these different zones just within that one, you know, in the grand scheme of things, small park. So we are able to take that information, and then I reach out to native plant nurseries in the area. We use Puget Sound plants specifically for this project because we needed a large quantity. I ordered 600 plants from them, and not every nursery can supply that at short order, but they are able to do that. How, I don't know. You'll have to have Jessica on the podcast next. But they show up with a semi-truck with all these beautiful native plants, which are in dormancy right now, so they look a little weird. A lot of the kids were like, this is dead. I'm like, it's not dead. It's just dormant. Plant it. So it's just a couple-week communication, and then we set a date for delivery. And we try and get the plants in the ground as quickly as possible once we've received them from the nursery. But so it takes some coordination sometimes.
Sure. So from your standpoint, this is a good time of year to be doing that kind of work if somebody's listening and thinking about their own property.
Yeah, it's a great time to be planting because you have several months of rain and water still to come. So planting in the spring works as well, but you just have to be prepared to do a little bit more watering once summer comes. But as soon as the rain hits in like October, that's when we're really starting to think about planting projects. So in September is when I'm really starting to put plant orders together and talking to all the guys over at the shop about, you know, did something die? Do we need to fill in somewhere? Did the deer eat something? So we're starting to put all those plants together. And then all throughout the winter, we have plant orders coming in. So we're ordering some new native roses for Battle Point like loop trail around the pond. That whole project is starting to come to a close. So we're ordering roses to fill back in where the blackberries used to be, and now it's just compacted soil. So they should look beautiful here in the next couple weeks. I'm excited to get those in.
Yeah, the whole variety of plant material out there at Battle Point is pretty amazing.
You
walk through that and the different groups of plants and trees.
Very much so.
And unusual things.
Yeah, we try and take advantage of things that are there as well. So in order to not, if we don't have to spend money on plants, we try not to. We want to be able to use what's available to us already. So we're going to take some cuttings from the willows that are around the pond and use those to just stick into the ground because they're so easily rooting, that variety in particular. And there's some sedges around the edge of the pond as well that are dense in certain areas, and some plants actually need to be thinned so that they can continue to spread and reproduce. So we're going to go in and selectively thin some of those sedges and fill in the small area that we need to there. So it saves us a little bit of money, and it's kind of a fun project. So.
Yeah, well, that sounds great. And to be able to just make a cutting and put it in the ground saves the rooting part of it and going to a greenhouse and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
I can imagine that people listening to us right now have this discussion, Morgan. There might be some people who say, wow, I think my teenager would love to do something like this. How do they get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. I reach out every month to several different groups at the school levels to get the information out. So if you're part of the National Honor Society, take a look at their calendar. They post all of our work parties and events as well. Cool. But you can also just go directly onto our website to find out more information about our work parties. But for teenagers specifically, starting again next summer, we'll be back hopefully in full force with our Student Conservation Corps program. And it's a summer paid program for teenagers 15 to 18.
Oh, cool.
And they can make a whopping $16 an hour, which is way more than I made mucking stalls when I was a kid. just to come hang out with me for 2 weeks at a time, 2-week sessions. You can apply to work the whole summer. If you're traveling or doing other things, you can come and just work for us for a couple weeks. And we tromp through the woods and we run through the meadows. We get really dirty. We work really hard, but we take down a significant amount of invasive weeds over the summer. And it's really, really fun. So I would highly encourage you to check out the website for basic information. And then the next few weeks and months, we'll be posting information about applying for our spring break session in 2022, as well as our summer sessions in 2022.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's so cool. And you also mentioned a lot of the sports teams that you're working with. So how does that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're a coach and you want to do a work party with us, or if you have a nonprofit group, you can reach out directly to me and we can schedule something specific to your group. Anywhere from 10 to 40 or 50 people is doable as long as there's enough chaperones involved. But you can also touch base with the Parks Foundation and their Nonprofits Helping Parks program. And they've created a fundraising opportunity where rather than washing cars or splattering Safeway with coupons, which is what I did when I was a Rovers teenager. The foundation will pay you and your students $10 an hour for a 2-hour work party in order to come out and help us manage invasive weeds or plant native species all throughout the year. And we've had lots of groups. In the past, the Frisbee team at the high school has done it. Water polo is coming out. The rowing team, the cross-country team. So we've had some really awesome huge groups of kids that have just done like an epic amount of work in 2 hours and raised thousands of dollars at this point for their group. So it's going to regattas and new uniforms and all sorts of stuff. So you're really doing a lot of good and raising some money for your team.
Wow.
And hopefully that's recruiting so cool. Lots of Student Conservation Corps members.
Every time we do these podcasts, I learn so much that's going on. That is really, really cool.
Yeah, it's fun. I think I have the best job ever.
I think and the idea of the teams, you know, using this kind of an experience, team building for teams. I mean, that's what it's about, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, beautiful.
Yeah, you see a bunch of kids just jump on one big holly plant and all of a sudden the whole team's over there trying to get it out and it's great.
Yeah. Wow. What a cool thing. I agree with you. I think you've got a great job, Mark.
Thank you.
Is there anything else that you would want to share with us, a story or anything in particular that,
oh my gosh,
like a highlight?
Yeah, well, I think one thing that I really have been enjoying in the last few months is just getting to know individual volunteers that are there every single month at our monthly work parties. And the Moritani Preserve in particular has some really dedicated, amazing volunteers. and just getting to know them over the last few months. And they're neighbors of the park, so when I'm out there doing projects, I'll just see them walking through. And it's just been a really fun part of my job that I didn't know would be a part of it. So a big shout-out to all those Moritani volunteers.
Yeah. Well, that is such an amazing, beautiful gem.
It is such space. A park. Yeah.
Right there in Bainbridge.
Yeah. I mean, you can't ask for better, right? A donor buys a property, builds a park, and then gives it to you.
Right. And I can see how the neighbors would be drawn to it too.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, it's their backyard. It's just the best.
Absolutely. It's amazing. Yeah. Well, Morgan Hauck, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you guys. I really appreciate the opportunity.
And Don, thank you for bringing her.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks, Emily. Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network.